Welcome to DFS Hand Building with the Plumster. Today we are going to speak on DraftKings Showdown Slate for the New Orleans Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies. Am I excited for this one or what? I mean, you got Ja, you got Zion, you got Brandon Ingram. You might have Lonzo unless he gets traded to the Bulls today, which I doubt today it's going to happen. But it seems like, in the grand scheme of things, Lonzo Ball is going to soon be a Bull. It just makes sense. They kind of need a point guard. I don't care what the hell they do with Eric Bledsoe. They could send him to Siberia at this point. It doesn't matter. But this is a fun game. Fun DFS game. Stan Van Gundy kind of has ruined it a little bit. But for the most part, this is one of my favorite matchups and will be one of my favorite matchups going forward in the NBA for years to come, as long as Zion, Ja, Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Brandon Ingram are on the respective squads, which I think they will be. This is going to be a prominent Western Conference matchup for years to come. So let's keep this rolling. Start out the captain spot. I think you have to play Zion here in most lineups. J-Val's decent of a big man, but they don't have a power forward that could hang, because they're not playing Zion at center barely at all. I think it's the numbers are under 3 minutes a game, where Zion's the biggest guy on the floor. They're either playing Steven Adams, Hernan Gomez, or Jackson Hayes, who, man, what a mistake it was taking that kid. Jesus. Took Zion and then you take him. I mean, they could have built a freaking powerhouse if they had any idea what they were doing around Zion. I hope this doesn't turn into an Anthony Davis situation, because I think Zion is a freaking monster. Not just of a human being, but of a basketball player. This dude is a stud. They're starting to let... So, Zion in the captain spot, they're really starting to let Zion kind of run point a little bit over about the last 10, 11 games. Brandon Ingram has kind of taken not a backseat. He's still playing really well and putting up numbers, but taking a backseat kind of statistically since this has changed. Ingram was hands down their best offensive player to start the season. But like I said, over the last, I'd say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's really become the Zion show. And now that Stan Van Gundy has stooped to the ultimate low of losing to his former Detroit Pistons, that are second to last in the East, he said changes are coming. I don't know if that's Lonzo Ball changes, that's lineup changes, that's rotation changes, but things are going to change, and I think it means more Zion, more featuring Zion, which is the smartest thing they could possibly do, and let Brandon Ingram be kind of the unicorn that he is of a player. Let him do his thing and feature Zion more. You know what I mean? I just think Brandon Ingram is an amazing player. I think him and Jason Tatum are two of the more unbelievable athletes at their position in the NBA. I just don't see anybody that can really play like those two guys can. And let Zion kind of control the tempo of the game, and Ingram kind of freelance, almost like a safety, and just let him play make and do his own thing. Don't make him just straight up run an offense. I don't think that's what's best fit for Brandon Ingram. But for this game in general, it should be faster paced. The Pelicans are starting to play fast again like they did last year, which I think is their ideal play style, as long as Lonzo's still on the roster, because Lonzo is great in transition, great at the fast break, great at getting out and running off rebounds and steals. So I really like Zion Lonzo Ingram pairing for this deal. And Josh Hart is probable. He has a Q tag, which was obviously always scares people off of him. But I don't mind Josh Hart as the sixth man off the bench here. Josh Hart has been playing great lately. People might point chase because of that one monster 20-point, 17-rebound game he had a few games back. But even still, his price is cheap enough in the showdown slate that he's worth it. But other than that, on New Orleans side, if you want to get cheap, I think Kira Lewis is the rookie. He's been getting more minutes. I don't know, maybe that's the rotation piece they're talking about. Neil Alexander Walker isn't playing as much. They're about the same price. I'd rather just go with the guy who's been getting the playing time, getting the run, and that would be Kira Lewis, who seems like he's going to be a nice little player for them. Maybe it could actually help facilitate a Lonzo trade because they have a guy like him that they want to feature more. But that's another pod for another day if a Lonzo to Chicago thing happens, which, like I said, I would not be shocked if it does. I don't know who would come back from Chicago contractually. I don't think Zach LaVine would be in that trade. Maybe Colby White. I don't see Wendell Carter. It depends on how crazy the trade the Bulls and that want to get. But a Thad Young always works as a contract to throw in. He's been playing great. He's still coming off the bench, but Thad Young could definitely be involved in something like this. Otto Porter's contract. Maybe if they don't like what's going on with the Steven Adams experience, they might be able to move Steven Adams to Chicago to actually get some rim protection because they have none of it. They do like Wendell Carter, but he cannot. He is not a rim protector by any stretch of the imagination. But anyway, going back to this game, I'd say my favorite plays from New Orleans for the showdown slate are Zion, Ingram, Lonzo, as long as he doesn't get traded, in like before the game, or they you know, late scratch him because the trade's on the table. Something like that could happen. It seems like, you know, obviously with the Drummond news, with the Blake Griffin news, with the Derrick Rose trade, the trade winds are starting to blow heavy and fast. So I would keep an eye on that, late scratch, all that stuff. If Lonzo were not to play for some weird reason, then obviously Eric Bledsoe does come in play. Kira Lewis really becomes a good option, and it really opens up a lot of value, as well as Josh Hart, because Josh Hart can handle some ball handling duties. He's nowhere near a point guard by any means, but he can bring the ball up and facilitate a little bit. So anyway, Zion 1, Ingram 2. Zion's actually cheaper than Ingram, so people will really gravitate towards that in both the captain and the utility spot. I just feel like the rim protection for Memphis is not strong enough to handle Zion. So Zion's just going to be a straight-up savage in this matchup. I could see a, say, 28-8-6 game from Zion tonight with maybe two or three stocks, which definitely gets you there. But the focal point for me is Zion and Ingram. The value is Kira Lewis and Josh Hart. I'm not probably going to touch much Steven Adams because of the playing time not quite being there. I like Steven Adams as a player. I just don't really like the fit here in New Orleans. And my boy David Griffin, I don't know what he was really thinking with that move, bringing him in, paying him right off the rip before he saw how they would gel with Zion. I'm not saying Zion should be a center. I'm just saying if you want a big with Zion, I think you need to have a guy that can stretch the floor and open the paint up for Zion, but on the same end, be able to rim protect a little bit. And a guy like that would probably be like a Vooch. I don't think Orlando's trading Vooch anytime soon, but if New Orleans could get their hands on Vooch, keep Ingram and keep Zion. I know Bill Simmons has talked on a pod recently about the Pels and what he thinks Ingram is probably not long for the Pelicans and will not be a part of the Zion future. I kind of disagree. I kind of like the fit. I get that he thinks Ingram's a four, but I think Ingram's more of a hybrid three, just like Tatum, that can facilitate a little bit, kind of play off the ball and spot up shoot here and there. I just don't see breaking them two guys up. I mean, unless there's some inner conflict that we're unaware of, but I think that's a core that can get you where you need to be. He mentioned a guy like Mitchell Robinson, who unfortunately just broke his hand like 2 days ago, as maybe a good option. I just don't see it because he's going to clog the paint so much for Zion. I think you really need a five that can stretch the floor and open that paint up for Zion and maybe give you a little. You know what? Honestly, a guy I would really like for them would be Daniel Tice. I know he's not a great rim protector by any means at all, but the way he can stretch the floor and kind of get in there and board a little bit, I really like Daniel Tice as a option to pair with Zion down there. Obviously, the Celtics have no big men. Tristan Thompson is a shell of himself, and so that probably will never happen. But I really, really like Zion tonight. We're going to roll on over to the Memphis side. I like on Memphis, obviously, Ja, obviously, J-Val. Brandon Clark's coming off the bench. He's going to be in a tough matchup with Zion. He's a little bit expensive as well. I usually am a huge Brandon Clark guy, probably one of the presidents of the Brandon Clark fan club, but not for tonight. It's just a matchup against Zion, for the most part, when he's on the floor, is just too tough for me. I just can't get there. J-Val, if this guy ever played 30 minutes a game, I'd be very excited. He just doesn't. It just doesn't happen. They let him get 30 against Toronto in the revenge game. I think that was more of a narrative-based situation. Like, all right, go show them what you can do. That I get, but J-Val, he's up there in price too. Depending on what value may open up, depending on possible Lonzo trades, possible injuries that we're unaware of. But I could totally see a scenario where I'd rather just pay up at captain and pay down for Gorgeous Dong. He's all the way down at $1,000 on this slate. $1,000, the minimum, right? He's a backup center and kind of quasi backup power forward, depending on what you think of Brandon Clark and Xavier Tillman. Xavier Tillman's not a guy I'm interested in here unless some news happens. Obviously, when I say not interested, I'm saying that based on what we know now. Obviously, based on the way the NBA is going, everybody's getting ruled out 20 minutes before the game that we weren't even questionable going in, like Eric Gordon last night or, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard against the Cavs, who they still, the Cavs are brutal. Lost again last night, didn't even score 100 points. Probably the worst offensive team in the NBA. Can't score 100 points against a centerless Golden State team. I mean, this is unreal. The Colin Sexton Sexland experiment is going to hell in a handbasket quick. I just can't. It's unbelievable how bad this roster is in Cleveland. Anyway, I really like Gorgeous Dong at $1,000. Him and Kira Lewis are my two favorite value plays. I don't think you need to play both of them in a lineup. I think you can get away with one if you're really paying up. So, to me, the core build will be Zion, Ingram, or Jot, captain, right? I just rotate those three. Maybe a little J-Val. But I don't see another guy unless you want the Dylan Brooks experience to come to your life and lose whatever lineups you put him in at captain money, because he will, if the ball's in his hands enough, he will shoot the ball 25 times and probably make four. But if he were to hit 12 of those 25 or 13 of those 25, he might take help you take down a tournament. Dylan Brooks is... So I have a category. This is my personal category. It's called the Andrew Wiggins category. Where, and actually, Andrew Wiggins is kind of... I should change it to the Dylan Brooks category. Jordan Clarkson is part of this category as well. He did it last night where he went 42-1, where there's just no peripherals. It's pure scoring. Terrence Ross is part of this category. Bojan Bogdanovic is part of this category. I mean, guys that just... Duncan Robinson is part of this category. Joe Harris is on the borderline of this category where... He will once in a while give you some peripherals, but for the most part, he's straight up scoring dependent. Terrence Ross, I said that there's a good 10-man crew here. Dougie McBuckets is part of this category where he's just shooting. He doesn't board, doesn't do none of that other, doesn't do anything else. But Dylan Brooks to me is in the top three people, probably with Terrence Ross in this category. And honestly, I might have to change it to the Dylan Brooks category. Because Andrew Wiggins, since he's gone to Golden State and started playing with Steph, he's actually getting rebounds and actually dropping some dimes. He's like a 24-3 guy, where he used to be a 24-1-2 guy. So, and I don't think that'll ever change for Wiggins. I think that's just the player he is. Wiggins kind of gets a hard rap for the player that he is. I mean, he's a 20-point-a-game player in the NBA. That's not terrible. Like, People look at Andrew Wiggins like he's the worst player in the NBA. I'm like, this dude's kind of a borderline all-star caliber scorer. Defensively, he's gotten better. Like, I'm really impressed with the way Golden State's played this year. I thought they were going to be fighting for the 10 seed, where it looks like they're going to be more or less fighting to just the 7-6 seed, not to be in the play-in tournament, which would be... pretty much that should put Steph Curry in the MVP conversation. Right now, I think he's sixth if voting were to end today based on polls I heard from Tim Bontemps on a Windy Pod. But I think that should be a little higher. I think him and Dame need to start the All-Star game. I know this is turning into more of an NBA general podcast, but, you know, that's just what happens. You get off on these tangents, you start talking about other players. That's just life as an NBA guy, man. Like your buddy Bill Simmons says, I'm an NBA hole. I don't hate that term. Some people don't like guys that follow the NBA. I love the NBA, so I will continue to speak on it. But let's get back to the showdown slate. Zion, Ja, Brandon Ingram, right? There's your three. J-Val for a little bit of contrarianness to those guys. If you can fit those big four in there, you're probably going to have to punt to your Josh Harts, your Gorgeous Dongs, your Kira Lewis's, and here's the best one, your Grayson Allen's, right? Grayson Allen's $5,200 on this slate. He's right in that Josh Hart range. There's going to be no D'Anthony Melton. There's going to be no Desmond Bain, right? So somebody's got to play those 2-3 minutes for those guys. I don't hate Grayson Allen at that price. He's probably in play in tournaments. I wouldn't play him in cash, but he's definitely in that high 20 minutes range over the last 4 or 5 games since the injuries have happened. So Grayson Allen would probably be my third or fourth, depending on what you think of slow-mo. Favorite Memphis Grizzly, but Gorgeous Dong is your main value at $1,000. John Concher is probably unplayable. His price has come up, and he's really only playing about 19 minutes a game. If you're going to go there, you might as well just go to Grayson Allen. Like I said, Xavier Tillman minutes are down. He's kind of playing with Brandon Clark back. That's kind of what killed Xavier Tillman's minutes and J-Val coming back. So I don't think, and he's still kind of priced up to where he's in play for showdowns, but it seems like they have him priced to where one of the two of Brandon Clark or J-Val is still out, and that's obviously not the case. So when I've hand-built my lineup, I'm really going to focus hard on Zion, as probably a lot of people will. if you pay play cash at all, Zion's got to be your captain, I would say. In 99% of those lineups, that's what everybody... He'll be 100% owned in tournaments or in cash games. It's just captain spot for Zion's going to definitely be your best option in cash. If you want to get away from that in tournaments, if you think J-Val can just dominate Steven Adams and for 19 minutes, Steven Adams kind of looks like a shell of himself, I could get behind that. Ja's minutes have finally started to come back. I haven't talked much about Ja on this pod, even though it's a Grizzlies Pelicans pod. I really like Ja here as a run and gun style. Let's get up and down the court. Tim and Lonzo just running all game. So Ja, and that Lonzo's definitely my third favorite Pelican. Ja's defense doesn't scare me. Defensive matchups generally in the NBA, unless it's like a Rudy Gobert or Joel Embiid, don't really scare me, or Kawhi Leonard. That's probably the three guys that don't give me pause, but make me think a little bit about, do I really want to play this guy against those guys? Those are kind of the three. Jimmy Butler used to be like that, not anymore. I'm more on the other side of, man, I got to attack the speed of the game and the pace of the game. This game should be a little faster paced. I want to say it's a 226 total. That's not terrible. That's kind of just run of the mill anymore in the NBA. It used to be, 226 total. Man, this game's going to be a shootout. That's just kind of run of the mill. Everybody's in the mid 220s, unless you get the Cavs playing. That's going to be like a 205 total because the Cavs can't even score 90 points. They think it's 1994. I'm just going to keep throwing jabs at the Cavs as long as I can here. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this game. I think Yahoo's doing a promotion for... I don't think this game's on national TV, but I saw on my Yahoo Sports app, which I like to use for my box scores. I don't like checking my lineups unless there's news and I have to do late swap. But I like using Yahoo Sports app as a nice box score checker, just because they keep everything so clean on their website, or on their app, I'm sorry. All the numbers are right there, updated basically as it happens. So I use that to kind of track how guys are doing. I don't love looking at my scores and my numbers because it gets you two up or two down. Even if I'm building late lineups or whatever, I try to avoid, like I said, unless I'm late swapping, looking at the lineups I have. Same with NASCAR, I do the same thing. I just try not to look at it because it gets you too up or too down or too disappointed. Just wait till the end, see what happens. You know, you could be out of the money all day, and then when you wake up in the morning after a late game on the West Coast, you're up $50, like I was last night. So I don't know. Just enjoy the game. I'm gonna go Pelicans here over Memphis. I like the pace of the game. I'm probably gonna take, as long as everybody that's supposed to play plays, Lonzo included, doesn't get traded to the Bulls today. I'm gonna say it goes over the 226, and the Pelicans win this bad boy. I'm excited for it. This is one of my favorite matchups in the Western Conference now. I'm going to keep these games circled. Anytime the Pelicans play, the Grizzlies play, the Charlotte Hornets play. Not that it seems like I'm a huge ball fan. I'm not necessarily a huge ball fan. I'm excited for these teams. I'm excited for what these teams are going to be in the future. They're kind of those borderline play-in tournament teams for the most part, but I think they're fun, young, and up-and-coming with a few veteran stars like Brandon Ingram and Gordon Hayward. These are kind of the teams I like to watch and target, especially in these showdowns where there's just a lot of scoring opportunities and a lot of value that can open up that they have on these rosters. So, all right, let's go. Enjoy this game tonight. Reserve your lineups now, early in the day, so you're not missing out on some good action. And let's have a good time. Let's play some DFS Showdown, and let's go Zion.